Greetings and welcome to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts broadcast during the week in which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzhak Et Shalom, and I'm delighted to be studying the second half of Sefer Shemot with you. We are now beginning our last parasha in this series, and that is Parashat Pekudei. We are in Perek Lamed Chet of Sefer Shemot, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And up until now, in Vayakel, we saw what was essentially a review, meaning in Parshat Truman Tetzaveh, we were commanded about constructing the Mishkan, the various parts of the Mishkan, weaving the Bigdei Kuhuna, etc. And in Parshat Vayakel, with the exception of the opening piece about Shabbat and the glorious description of the zealousness with which everyone brought their gifts and participated in the work, and with the exception of the one interesting line about the Marot HaTzavot, for the most part, Parshat Vayakel was really reviewing that Bezalel and his team did what Moshe had been commanded in Truma Tetzaveh. Not so with the beginning of Pekudei. The beginning of Pekudei is something which is sui generis, doesn't exist elsewhere in Chumash, and certainly not in Truma Tetzaveh, and that is a reflection of the tremendous gifts of the precious metals that were brought. The precious metals that were to be brought are Zahav, Kesef, and Nechoshet, and we will now look at how much was collected, do a little math, and then see how it was used, before moving on to descriptions further of moving towards the final construction of the Mishkan. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Elef Fekudei HaMishkan Mishkan Ha'idut Asher Pukar Al Pi Moshe Avodat Alvim Biyad Itamar Ben Aharon HaKohen. So this opening sentence, this is the counting, it's a reckoning, a math bit of the Mishkan, which is Mishkan Ha'idut. Now that's an important line here, because Pekudei HaMishkan, what is HaMishkan? HaMishkan is a residence. So which particular residence? So clearly from context we know that it is the Mishkan that Hashem commanded. But there's another component to it. With all of the tent covers and all of the beams and all of the poles and all of the hooks and everything else going on, we might lose sight of what the actual goal of this entire structure is. And the answer is, the goal of the structure is the Edut. The testimony that Hashem spoke to us at Har Sinai, that testimony is the Luchot HaBrit that sit inside the Aron, that it sits under the Kaporet, that sits under the Kruvim, and it's from between the Kruvim that Hashem is going to continue the process of Matan Torah by giving Moshe more mitzvot. You have to remember that that is the inner sanctum, both physically, geographically that is, and also ideationally. This is what the entire goal and the entire purpose of the Mishkan is, which also serves to highlight something beautiful about Bnei Yisrael, that they brought all of these gifts. The numbers here are staggering. They all brought them all for one purpose, and that is to make a proper residence for the Edut, for the testimony of that amazing, wondrous moment when they stood at the foot of Har Sinai together with Moshe and heard Hashem utter the Aseret HaDibrot. And this was commanded al pi Moshe. Avodat Alvim Biyad Itamar Ben Aharon HaKohen. This gives us a little foreshadowing, judges ahead, to the passages near the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, where we're told about the different jobs of the Levim and what they're going to be doing as part of the Masa'ot, as part of the traveling. And Itamar, Aharon's youngest son, is in charge of the work of the Levim, who are in charged with moving all of these things. And so all of the things that we are hearing about, except for the Kelim themselves, the Aron, etc., are going to be in the hands of the Levi'im. And now let's hear about the gift. And this is what we heard in Vayakel, that Bezalel from Shevet Yehuda had already done. Asa, past perfect, everything that Hashem commanded Moshe, and he was not alone. Ve'ito Aliyav ben Achisamach l'mate Dan, Charash ve'choshev. So Aliyav from Shevet Dan is Charash ve'choshev. Maybe we'll have to keep reading the pasuk. For Okem Batred v'Agamam Talat Hashinu Vashesh. Not only a working with the wood and working with the stones, but also working with the embroidery. Or perhaps what it means is Viito Aliyah ben Achisa Machlamate Dan, he was helping with Salel. And then there's Charash, Vechoshev, Rokem, all the different people who did those things were part of the team. Because we know from Parshat Vayakel and from Parshat Kitisa that there's a whole team of people who are working here. And according to the theory that we posed, also the women who would assemble at that spot and sit in formation and work on the weaving, etc., there's a lot of people. And those people are not mentioned explicitly in this passage unless we understand that Charash, Vechoshev, Rokem, etc., are referring not to Aliyah, but rather to all of those people. Okay, now let's see the count. Kol HaZahav HaAsui LaMelacha B'chol Melachat HaKodesh. So all of the gold that was done for the work of this holy work, Vahi Zahav HaTenufa Tesha V'Esrim Kikar. So how much gold was lifted up as a gift? Not physically lifted up necessarily, but when you donate it as a gift to God, it like it goes up. 29 kikar. We'll see what that means in a moment. And 730 shekel using the shekel hakodesh. Now, we will see that in the context of silver, a kikar, a talent, is 3,000 shekel. If the same it holds true for gold, then that means that we have 29 times 3, that's 87,000 shekel of gold, plus another 730 shekel. It's a huge amount of gold. Of course, there's a lot of gold needed here. What about the kesef? Now, the kesef is different because the donations of gold, some of the silver, and of the bronze are all voluntary gifts, however much people want to bring. However, the silver, there is also a specific directed gift that was commanded, and that was the machzit ha-shekel. And the machzit ha-shekel would mean that everybody who gave machzit ha-shekel, so that number times the amount of shekalim, the amount of shekalim collected, divided by two would be however many people gave. Or put it the other way, whatever your population is, divide that by half, and that's how many shekalim you'll have. So let's see how that number plays out. V'chesef pikudei ha'eda me'at kikar. How much money was there from the counting of the people? So ma'at kikar, 100 talents. So if a talent is 3,000 shekel, then that means that this is 300,000 shekel, which makes sense because 300,000 shekel would be from 600,000 people. As there's 600,000 soldiers, or people, men over 20, then you're going to end up with 300,000 plus a little change because there's 603,000, as we'll see in a moment. And another 1,775, and now do the math, you have your 300,000 shekel, which is 600,000 people, and now you've got 1,775 times 2 is going to come out to what? Here we go. V'shem shekel v'shekel ha-kodesh in pasuk chavav beka la-gulgolet. The beka is another name for a half shekel. We saw that word used back in Kitisa. Parenthetically, of all of the half shekalim that we found, and we found lots of them in Eretz Yisrael, these weights that are roughly 5.89 grams on the average, which is half of the shekalim we found, which are about 11.7. They are marked with the word beka, or in some cases netzer, which means a half. Machatzit ha-shekel v'shekel ha-kodesh, again a half a shekel. L'chol over l'apkudim, and that was given from everybody who's in the army who was counted. Miben esrim shana v'mala, from 20 on up, and that's in the numbers. L'shesh miot elef u'shloshet alafim, 603,000, 550. Now do the math. If you have 600,000, that's your 300,000 shekalim, that's your mi'at kikar. If you have another 3,000 and 550, and divide that by 2, you're going to end up with 1775, and that's exactly what's left over. So it comes out perfectly. Now let's find out where that silver went. Vahi ma'at kikar ha-kesef, the 100 talents, latzeket, 8 adnei ha-kodesh, v'eit adnei ha-parochet, went to pour in for the adanim, the sockets for the kodesh, meaning the sockets that are going to sit under the krashim that surround the mishkan, v'eit adnei ha-parochet, and also the sockets for the parochet. What's the math? Ma'at Adanim Lima'ata Kikar Kikar La'aden. 100 Adanim made out of 100 Kikar, in other words, one Kikar for each socket. Now that's a lot of silver to be poured in for a socket, but evidently that was what it took. And so now, why would there be 100 sockets? Well, very simply, remember that the length of the Mishkan is 30 amot. Each keresh is 1.5 amot wide, which means there's 20 kreshim on the north side and 20 kreshim on the south side. Remember that each keresh takes 2 adanim, because the keresh is split at the bottom, and each leg, as it were, sits in its own aden. So therefore, you've got 40 adanim on one side, 40 adanim on the other side, and then if you recall, on the west side, which is 10 amot, you have 6 krashim, that's 9 amot, and another keresh on each corner, so a total of 8. 8, that means there's 48 krashim, each keresh is 2 adanim, that's 96 adanim, and then, as it said, adnei parochet, the parochet that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodeshim had 4 adanim. So there's your 100 adanim of silver. But remember, there's still some silver left over from the extra, the surplus, over 600,000 people. Let's see where that goes. The 1775, Asavavim La'amudim. Bezalel used that to make the hooks on the pillars, right? Vitzipa rashehem v'chishakotam. Then he covered them and protected them, and so now that was with gold, but the pillars themselves have the hooks that are made out of silver. So these are the amudim on the outside that are holding up the klaim l'chatzer. So that's the silver. And the silver here, we reckon, is all the obligatory silver of the machzid ha-shekel. How much cop bronze was given as a gift? 70 kikar. That's 21,000. That's 210,000 shekel. It's a huge amount. Valpaim varbamiot shekel. And another 2,400 shekelim. What's all that bronze used for? Vayaspa et adne petach ol moed. Remember, the adanim of the Petach Ohel Moed, the adanim for the Masach, which was at the entrance to Ohel Moed, were not silver, they were made out of bronze. V'nizbach ha-nechoshet, the outer mizbeach, of course, is plated in nechoshet. V'nmichbar nechoshet ha-shalom, and the rim around it was nechoshet. V'et kol klei mizbeach, all the kelim of the mizbeach are made out of nechoshet. And now v'et adnei ha-chatzer saviv. Remember, you've got the chatzer going all around. And remember, everything dropped down one level. So the hooks on the inside are gold, hooks on the outside are silver. We just heard about that. The adanim on the inside are silver, the adanim on the outside are bronze. So all the adanim that hold up the pillars, that hold up the klaim, that make the chatzer, the outside boundary, are all bronze. V'adanei shar chatzer. And the adanim for the opening into the chatzer. And remember, as we said at the end of Parshat Vayakel, and we saw it first at the end of Parshat Truma, there are pegs that were put into the ground to guy the Mishkan cover and to guy the Klaim. Inside the courtyard, there were guide and there were ropes that held onto the Mishkan to keep it in place, keep it from flying off in a wind, etc. And you had the same thing outside of the chatzer, guying down the klaim of the chatzer, and those were all made out of nechoshet, and that's what all of the nechoshet was used for. We're going to see in the next podcast is the actual weaving and making of the Bigdei Kehuna. At least we'll see the beginning of that in the next podcast as we move towards final construction, towards that glorious day, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan will be constructed. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.